Seb, I've been involved with the AMROC project for a few years now, and we're going to go through with you what's been happening in the AMROC world these last few months, which things have really started picking up steam and getting really exciting, and what you can expect from the upcoming release, which we should have out to you hopefully quite soon. So AMROC 2, the life of AMROC 2 really started about 3 years ago at the multimedia meeting which we had in the Netherlands. We were around for about 3 or 4 days, and we spent days designing what really AMROC should be. What it was, we decided that AMROC would become, we had a lot of popularity, we had a lot of, we could have a lot of say, like we had a lot of influence on the community in terms of music players, and we thought we really would like to try to push the boundaries like we always have. AMROC's always pushed the boundaries, we've always thought about taking risks, and that's really why we've got such results, we think. So that's not going to be changing. So that was obviously a big issue for us in the early design stages, where these risks and unstable libraries and the pillars of KDE, which we're using, like the Solid and Phonon, and how do you deal with those? So there was really a paradigm shift which we realized in taking from the classical music player music stored in your computer, which is becoming less and less relevant nowadays with so many information sources out on the internet, on personal servers, you have mobile devices, you have portable laptops. People can't be traveling around with these ridiculously large collections of music and expect to be able to use them everywhere. So we're really to be able to use music and be able to find music from all over the internet, from remote sources. So that's really what AMROC 2 is about. It's about incorporating a service framework, an open platform, to incorporate third-party services into the application. So anybody can come around and write their own back-end and say, listen, I want to get my music from this sort of service. This is really cool, but I don't know how to do it without using my web browser, and I don't really like that. So we're providing this interface, and we're going to go through some of the Summer of Code projects which we've been going through. So actually, it all started with Nicolai when he implemented the Magnatune store in AMROC 1.4, and we realized, wow, this is great. So now we've got Magnatune and Jamendo, and we have Shoutcast browsers and OPML directories of podcasts. So it's going to pass you on to Casey, who's going to talk to you about his Summer of Code project, which is the MP3 tube.
Hi, I'm Casey Link from the States. My project is integrating MP3 tunes with AMROC. A little bit about MP3 tunes. MP3 tunes is a service, a startup founded by Michael Robertson. You might have heard of him. He started MP3.com back in the 90s, got rich off it, and now he does everything. So MP3 tunes allows you to store your music in the cloud. Allows you to take your local collection, put it in the cloud, and then access it from anywhere. And by anywhere, I mean from your mobile phone, from your smartphone, from your laptop, from a public computer, from your set-top box, or from your squeeze box, all sorts of devices. And the reason this is possible is because because MP3 Tunes provides a very well-built, very robust, but simple API. And there are springing up many, many different SDKs in various languages for various platforms. So with MP3 tunes in AMROC, like Seb was saying, AMROC 2 is really designed to be agnostic about where the music is coming from. It's just about playing music. It doesn't care where it is. So with MP3, I wanted to make it seamless, so it doesn't seem like you're streaming music from all over the internet. And you shouldn't have to worry about uploading and downloading music to MP3 tunes. So this summer, I have integrated MP3 tunes to the extent so you can download and stream your music that's already there. But what's really cool, what I've been working on recently, is the synchronization. So to keep sources, your local collection, in sync with MP3 tunes in both directions. MP3 tunes is also really cool because they integrate with and they're starting to integrate more with other music stores. So a good example is eClassical.com. They sell a lot of a lot of classical music. If you go to eclassical.com and buy a song, and you say, "Well, hey, I have an MP3Tunes account," when you buy that song, it gets immediately gets put into your MP3Tunes account. It's called a locker, like your music locker. And now with Amarok, that song is immediately synced to your local collection if you have the synchronization settings set that way. So, and then at the same time, it's now in your local collection. You can also listen to it on your phone. You go into your living room, it's on your set-top box, and all you did was click buy in your browser. Or if you get a new song from a friend, you throw it on your local collection. A few minutes later, bam, you can listen to it wherever you have access to MP3Tunes. It's really a great service, and it's... Oh, yeah, Peter. I'll let him tell you about what he's doing.
My name's Peter. I'm from China. And actually, I'm doing a scripting interface project for Amarok this summer. You may notice scripting interface in Amarok 2 changed a lot from Amarok 1. Amarok 1 used dbus interface, but actually Amarok 2 has two different interfaces. One is still we keep the dbus interface, but the dbus interface is only for media player remote interface specification APIs. The API is not rich, so that's only for external scripts. For internal scripts, we are using Qt script. Actually, we struggled a lot for choosing from Qt script or Ruby or Python. We really struggled. Finally, we chose Qt script because it has zero dependency. For like Qt or Python script, you need extra dependency libraries for the users. So if one user want to choose using one script, then he may want to install a lot of like Python, SQL, Python networking, these kind of libraries, and that would be set for the Windows or Mac users. So finally, we chose the Qt script as the internal script, so we may want to run the scripts by the script manager. But Qt script is nothing without Qt bindings. Using Qt bindings, you can use all the Qt functions. Actually, we did a similar project as they talked for the Plasma project. We are also using the generator for Qt bindings. And also, we have a scriptable service. Using the scriptable service, you can add any service you want, like MP3Tunes and like Last.fm. These kind of similar scripts, similar services can be written by scripts. Actually, I really want to show the scripts, but my Mac is not working here, so I may want to show later. Thanks. This is Zabbix. He's developing the media devices for this summer.
All right. So you guys already know that in the old Amarok we already had support for this guy over here, the iPod. Except a little bit of a problem if you had anything larger than maybe, I don't know, a reasonable amount of songs, 7,000, it would pretty much freeze Amarok. I saw this and I decided for my summer project I'd like to take care of MIDI devices, make things work a little bit faster. Luckily they made my job really easy because I didn't really have to optimize anything. Things just fell into place and now we're down from, I don't know, like a minute of load time to about a second, so. Anyway, MIDI devices, the things that are going to be different in Amarok 2 from Amarok 1, there was too much of configuration problems with Amarok 1. It took too much time to configure a device. You had to go through a little bit of different things. The iPod, not so much. Well, you had to choose model, things like that. But also for devices like this guy right here, MTP devices, there was a little extra configuration required. So we simplified things. It's a lot more plug-in play. Please don't sue me, Microsoft. And everything's a lot simpler to set up now. There's really not a whole lot to say. There is one more device that I'm going to try to support a little bit better. the generic MIDI devices, a USB device, or anything that you plug in normally, you can't really do a lot with that, because the iPod, MTP, they have a database, things move really fast, connects quickly. But with a USB, you know, you don't have things like play count tracking or anything of that sort. So I'm going to be working and integrating that hopefully sometime later this week. There's really not much more to say. MIDI devices are back in MROC 2. And now I'll pass you on to William, who is working on the context view.
Hello, my name is William. I'm from Brazil. And, well, I've been working on context view, as you can see. This is the central part, the central widget in MROC now, and it's about contextual information. I'm continuing the work started by Leo Franchi. And, we are trying some approaches how to, how to handle all these pieces of information, how to lay out things, and also how create some new pieces of information to show while you are listening to music. So since we are using Plasma libraries on the context view, well, we are also bringing some of their ideas on the desktop, like the zoom-in user interface. So to browse all this information you may have on your context view. So we are trying this approach. We'll see what how it comes out. But well, I'm pretty confident about it. Yeah, and since we are using Plasma and all the pieces of information are applets, so we also believe that in the future it will be possible to other people to collaborate with us, creating their own applets, and well, this will give a more very rich contextual information. So, we hope that we will have a lot of collaboration from people, so we can have a rich contextual context view with a lot of really nice applets. Right now, we only have 8 applets, and they are not working very well. But there's a lot of work to do still, and also with interacting with them. And right now, for instance, we have the current track applet, where you can see the current track that's playing in the cover album for this song. And we can also rate the song you're listening, and you can also fetch the album from the Amazon or from the Amazon webpage. And yeah, we are working on to make it more interactive, so you can play with things and modify the playlist and some other kind of things. What else? Nothing much, I guess. Yeah, that's all. So next is Theo. He's been working on mass tagging. And, thank you.
Hello, I'm Theo. I'm from Croatia, and I'm a Summer of Code student. Actually, almost a Summer of Code student. I'm not sponsored by Google because there weren't enough slots for me. Anyway, I'm doing this. I'm doing my project, and I'm doing it also as a university thesis. I'm going to bring some powerful and easy mass tagging to MROC 2. Basically, it's a dialogue that should make the action of defining a filing scheme much easier and more visually appealing. Many of you probably remember from MROC 1, when you want to rename massively files in your collection or extract tags from file names, you had to define a pattern for the file name, and that would be done in a simple text edit by writing, %track-%artist-%album or whatever. This could be confusing for new users or simply for users that would be lazy to type in, check for typos, learn the syntax, and everything else that goes with it. So this dialogue is going to have, or already has in SVN, if you want to check it, a token pool, and these tokens represent parts of the file name. And the user can drag and drop the tokens into a layout bar that represents the format of the file name, and that's basically all the user has to do, because he can see already a preview of what the file name is going to look like, and he can also, I don't know, remove trailing spaces from tags and sort out capitalization. This tagging dialog will be used both in as a way to organize the collection. So if you have a collection with tags already sorted out, you can massively rename all the collection. Or if you want to extract the tags from maybe an album with bad tags but good file names, you can extract it with the same dialog. It works both ways. So now that's basically it from me. This is Leo. He's going to talk to you about biased playlists.
Hello, I'm Leo. First of all, I just want to say we had about 10 summer code proposals. We couldn't fit everyone. We only had smaller slots. And Tio kept on doing his project even though it was not funded by Google. And that's pretty awesome. He had an awesome proposal. Now, I'm going to talk about playlists. Not my stuff. This is actually what a different summer code student has been working on. He's not here at this meeting. But many of you, or I hope many of you, who've used AmRock 1.4 something, have seen this whole dynamic playlist stuff. But you pretty much, you'd start it with some songs. You'd tell it how to choose the upcoming songs. So it'd be play songs like the current song. And then it would kind of add songs as you go along and kind of keep on going and adding songs as you play them. Which is, very nice and allows you to kind of start playing and leave and it'll go by itself and just choose songs for you. That was awesome, but it's also kind of a hack, which the way it was built into AmRock was not ideal. And we couldn't really maximize that idea, which is the whole architecture. So in AmRock 2, we've been able to kind of re-engineer a lot of things. And in this project, we have now what are called biased playlists. So pretty much what you have with biased playlists is the same kind of idea where you have ways to choose upcoming tracks, and they're added to the playlist every time you play a song. So you let it go and it will add stuff. But now what you can do is you can specify how much bias different playlists have when they're chosen to be your whole pool of songs to choose from can be much more complex. You can say, I want A, songs that are like songs that I already play, and B, 30% are hard rock, and 30% have been made before 1990. So you can kind of sculpt these complex playlists that, it's very powerful. And the amazing part is that it's not complicated at all to use. The UI is incredibly simple. You pretty much say, I want a new playlist, give me 30% from this playlist and 20% from this playlist, just go. And it's awesome. You can make these great combinations of stuff that you just can't find anywhere else. And so that's kind of one awesome thing. And the next thing is called fuzzy biases. So all that I'm talking about now is kind of a yes or no thing. Is it, was it played on, or was it published in 1968? If so, that could be in the playlist. If not, it's not. But with fuzzy biases, you can, it'll map the distribution around a certain point. So you can say play me songs from around 1968. And it'll play more songs that are closer to that year and less that are farther out. Of course, you don't actually know how the graph works, how the curve looks or anything. It's all in the background, but it just kind of intuitively lets you kind of choose, domains. I kind of like songs in this area, but I don't just want songs from that year. Maybe a year after, a year before, 2 years, kind of choose for me. So, this is all in the same UI, it's all very streamlined. And of course, all the, complexity is all hidden behind the very straightforward, checkboxes and choose this playlist. So, that's really awesome. So, how are we on time? Yeah, so one last thing also someone else has been working on AFT, which stands for MROC File Tracking, which was in MROC 1.4. And it's kind of changed a little bit, but pretty much it allows you to keep track of all your files, no matter where they are, no matter if you move them, no matter if you like do anything. So, you know, if you move a song around in your collection, it won't lose all of its stats, all of it. Like, MROC will not forget about what song that is, which is pretty nifty, because like you can rearrange your files and you'll like fix your tags up, or I mean like fix your like directory structure up, because you know you have a lot of files in one folder you want to get out, and just keep track of everything. It's all integrated, so you know all your playlists are gonna kind of, you know, change as well. And so no more like, oh, I lost all my playlists, so I changed my file paths, and now I gotta like manually fix them all. That's also all gone. So, you know, these are all just kind of a few different new features that we've had in MROC in the past 2 months. So I thank you all for, you know, coming here and listening to us. And questions? You know, we're more than happy to answer anything you may have. So ask away.